Chapter 10. With a jolt, the cable lowered them down the shaft. Sodium bulbs glowed at 10-meter intervals. Kelsey fidgeted nervously with her protective overalls. The darkness rang with activity, hundreds of hammers striking rock. After several minutes of descent, the cart shuddered to a halt.
"This is us," said her supervisor.
They stepped out onto a short, rocky platform which gave way to a dark tunnel carved into the stone. Caged lamps hung overhead, connected by a long orange cable that sagged periodically, dusting the hard hats of workers passing by. Smaller corridors branched off from the main tunnel in diagonal strips, like the branches of a pine tree. Workers ferried rocks from the side passages to the main tunnel, where a central conveyor belt took them to the central shaft. A pulley system covered in hooks busily exchanged full buckets for empty ones, whisking rubble away to the surface, while keeping the workers busy below.
"It grows in layers. This seems pretty good. You can start down here."
Kelsey's supervisor indicated for her to grab an empty bucket and follow him into one of the branch tunnels. None of the other miners paid her any attention. Their backs were turned, driving hammers into the rock. As they walked, Kelsey tweaked the fabric mask on her face, trying to keep the dust out. Mist formed in the corners of her goggles with each breath she took, compounding her mounting claustrophobia. They reached an unused cubby, out of sight from the main passage.
"This is you."
Kelsey stepped inside. The cubby was just deep enough to fit her body in if she stooped. The rock was pockmarked and uneven, blighted by chisel marks.
"Make it 3 times deeper this week," said the man, straining over the clatter. "Work until you hear the bell, then come to the surface and eat until you fall asleep on your plate."
He gave her a thumping pat on the back, then disappeared into the gloomy corridor, shouting instructions to the other workers. Kelsey looked at the dark, solid rock face before her. Taking the hammer and chisel from her belt, she set to work. Hammers clattered in the darkness. Kelsey wiped a sleeve across her sweaty, dust-covered brow. Her hands ached from chiseling, but that was a constant. There was no sense of time in the mine. For all she knew, there could be hours left to go. The miners' dorms were at the edge of the quarry. Each of the past 6 days had finished with a perfunctory, high-calorie hot dinner, followed immediately by sleep. But it felt like no sooner would she lay her head on the pillow than the whistle would sound, calling them back to work. The miners' sole luxury came every 2 days, when they were permitted 20 minutes of UV treatment. They would sit on wooden benches in the tank room, wearing only black-tinted goggles and underwear. The ultraviolet light stimulated vitamin D production, allegedly. Kelsey didn't know if that was true, but she relished the break from monotony, even if it was just an opportunity to sleep at a different position.
"Yo, 32, keep it moving," called the supervisor.
Kelsey shook herself out of the UV daydream and hacked away at the rock. Chunks of gray and orange rubble fell to the ground, bouncing off her steel-capped boots. As she gathered them into her bucket, one piece caught her eye. It had a crooked, shiny seam like a glassy vein. The silver featured a sunburst pattern with golden flecks.
"Finally! I was thinking this cubby might be a dud. Keep it up, 32. We all get a bonus if you hit the quota," cheered the supervisor.
Kelsey tossed the chunk into her brimming bucket and crawled out of her cramped, squatting position. She heaved the load onto her shoulder and stood up, wincing as her aching muscles straightened out. Staggering along the branch tunnel, she entered the main corridor, taking care to avoid swinging hammers and laden buckets. With a grunt, she dropped her load onto the conveyor belt and watched it disappear with the others, hoisted up by the pulley. She caught her breath for a few precious seconds, then grabbed an empty bucket and shuffled back to her cubby. Being at the furthest end of her tunnel, it was barely illuminated by the single lamp serving their branch. When she returned, her supervisor was still there studying her cubby with a handheld lantern.
"This is even more promising than I thought. When I come back, I need to be standing here, not squatting. Pick up the pace, 32. This could be the richest seam on this level. I'll see you get a bonus. Fail me, and I'll put someone in here who wants the rewards, while I drop your ass to the lower levels. Got it?"
Kelsey nodded, fearfully. From what the other workers had told her, the lower levels were a fate worth avoiding. The air was so thick with the dust, they could barely breathe down there, even with the masks. They needed lanterns on their helmets just to see the tools in their hands. It was not a place she wanted to be. Taking her tools into her blistered palm, she set to work with zeal. When the lunch whistle sounded for her level, she kept working, asking a colleague to bring her a sandwich on her way back. It wasn't technically allowed, but her colleague was willing to bend the rules in exchange for a cut of the food. Kelsey knew she risked inhaling a lot of dust eating down there, but she figured that was better than inhaling 10 times more if she got demoted to the lower shafts. As she hammered away, a huge chunk of rock fell from the wall. She leaped back as it landed where her feet had been. Lining the freshly exposed rock behind was a huge strip of the glowing sunburst mineral, cerebrium, the most valuable commodity in the nation. Kelsey glanced around. There was no one else about, just distant hammering from lower-level miners whose lunch was later. She could pocket it if she wanted. Even a small amount of the ultra-rare mineral would be enough to set her up for years. She could escape that dreadful place. Her heart sank as the fantasy ebbed away. Yes, it was the most valuable commodity in the city, but there was only one buyer, the Ministry. Even if she smuggled some out, no one would dare buy it from her for fear of being thrown in an infinity chamber. Shouting echoed from the levels above. The hammering had stopped and the voices sounded urgent. Kelsey climbed out of her cubby onto the branch tunnel to listen. Were people running? An alarm sounded, and the ground shook. Buckets tumbled off the distant conveyor belt. As Kelsey raced for the exit, rocks crashed through the end of the corridor. The tunnel was caving in. Shockwaves ripped through the mine. Kelsey dived into her cubby and curled into a ball as rocks rained down from the ceiling. When the tremors finally subsided, Kelsey tried edging backward out of her cubby, but boulders had piled up behind her. She called out into the darkness, but her voice was smothered by the rocky swaddling. As the dust swirled around her tiny space, all she could hear was the muffled siren hundreds of meters above ground, echoing down to her ears through an impossible labyrinth of debris. With her nose up against the rock face, she was trapped, and she was fast running out of air. Kelsey tried to regulate her breathing as panic rose through her. She was churning out carbon dioxide in a space no bigger than a coffin. Placing her palms against the rock face, she pushed away. The unyielding rubble behind her bit sharply into her back. Panting, she probed the area by her feet, kicking her heels back until they found a weakness. As the rocks fell away, others tumbled down to take their place, cutting her ankles as she recoiled just in time. Kelsey quivered, contemplating her choices. Stay put and suffocate, or keep kicking and risk getting her leg crushed by fresh rockfall, then suffocating in agony. She chose the latter, kicking hard and fast until she punched a permanent gap in the rock behind her heel. Widening it with difficulty, she forced her other leg through. This freed up just enough space in her pitch-black cubby for her to twist her torso onto the opposite shoulder. As her skin scraped against the jagged rock, she saw a glimmer of light. Some of the primary tunnel must have survived. Wriggling her way out backwards through the clearing she'd made, Kelsey focused desperately on not dislodging the rocks above her. The coarse ground scratched her stomach to shreds as she shunted her body backwards, finally emerging into a clearing several meters wide. The tunnel ceiling was intact in this section. Clambering to her feet, she gulped in some of her new oxygen allowance. Light glimmered through cracks in the wall of rubble before her. This time, there was no way to burrow under it. She would have to find space on top. She placed a tentative foot against the lowest boulder, wobbling as she transferred her full weight onto it, and climbed inch by inch until her helmet struck the ceiling. Suspended above the ground and crouched in a climbing squat, she extended a hand towards the top layer of rocks, pulling them away like Jenga pieces. She cleared a space just big enough for her torso, but it left her legs dangling on the outside, scrambling for purchase. Lying across her bleeding stomach, she heaved at the boulder ahead, trying to clear space to crawl forwards. Without warning, it broke free. The force of the release flung Kelsey backwards. Rocks cascaded down, sealing the gap she'd created, and halving her precious glimmers of light. Kelsey dragged herself against the side of the tunnel and hugged her knees, gasping in pain. Her arms and hands were covered in cuts from the fall. She called again for help, but there was no reply. Her mouth was parched and her body exhausted. A fog was descending on her mind. As the last of her strength faded, she stared at the slits of amber light spilling through the rock wall before she fell limp against the stone. A warm breeze struck her cheek, and Kelsey came too. She had a splitting headache. Her heart sank as she remembered where she was. Walls of rock and rubble extended around her in all directions, yet there was a new current of air. Groaning, she climbed to her feet. She had no idea how long she'd been out. Pressing her hands to the rock wall, she felt for the breeze. She pulled down her mask and feasted on the fresher air. Liquid trickled down the wall beside her. Kelsey sniffed, then tested it, discovering to her joy that it was water. Pressing her tongue against the rock, she let the water drip into her mouth. The amount was meager and the flavor faintly metallic, but the relief was immense. As she drank, the floor trembled. Kelsey cowered, flush against the wall as aftershocks sent rubble tumbling from the mounds beside her. When the shaking finally settled, a gap had opened up. The mound ahead was sloped now, tapering away at the top just wide enough for her to try squeezing through. Kelsey didn't waste a second. The next aftershock could come at any moment and rearrange things again, sealing her in forever. Scrambling up the mound, she dragged herself through the narrow crevice. The mound was much deeper than she'd expected. The shafts of light reaching her were reflecting off strips of cerebrium within the debris, getting far further than they should have in an ordinary quarry. She moved one limb at a time, testing each rock's load-bearing capacity before committing. But as she reached the far edge, she realized she had no plan for the descent. Kelsey was staring face forward at a drop as high as her, with a rough landing below and no room to turn around. The only option was to try climbing down like a gecko without breaking her neck. She slithered over the lip of the mound, trying to control her descent using her trembling arms. She tugged her trailing leg, but it wouldn't budge. Something had snagged against the ankle of her jumpsuit. Suspended, blood was pooling in her head. If she didn't free herself in the next few seconds, she knew she would pass out. Jerking her leg desperately, she tugged until the rock tore through the fabric, freeing her leg, but slicing through her muscle in the process. The momentum sent her careering over the edge of the mound, causing a cascade. Kelsey landed in a heap amidst the rolling rubble. Her wrist felt fractured. As she nursed the wound, inspecting it beneath the dangling ceiling light, a sound caught her attention. Muffled voices coming from the tunnel. Someone was shouting instructions. Jumping to her feet, she limped towards the sound, croaking for help. As she picked her way through the boulder-strewn corridor towards the main tunnel, an almighty crash sounded from above. She cowered, clutching her face mask as a dust cloud billowed through the tunnel. The electric lights flickered out completely. Kelsey dropped to all fours and crawled forwards. She could hear the voices shouting again. She was getting closer to the edge of the tunnel, but there was no sign of the elevator shaft. Her hand suddenly plunged downwards, meeting no resistance. She slumped forwards, landing hard on her chest, with one arm dangling into the pitch-black abyss. Among the echoing noises, her spinning mind pieced together the final numbers of a countdown. Kelsey jerked backwards just in time. With a deafening buzz, a drill pierced the rocks obstructing the shaft. Boulders tumbled through the darkness with a crunch. Kelsey squinted as a powerful searchlight swung from the tip of the corded drill.
"Over here! Help!"
she croaked, waving desperately as if it could see her. She ducked as the juddering drill swung precariously. It powered down and retracted back up the shaft. Kelsey peered upwards as the light dwindled with it, imploring her rescuers to come back. As the drill light disappeared, two smaller lights appeared either side of it, getting closer. Rescue workers were abseiling into focus. The extraction was a blur. Kelsey was vaguely aware of a harness being fitted to her and the cord being pulled taut. She tried not to look into the black void below as they winched her to the surface, but the journey was slow and fraught with obstructions. A sea of arms hauled her over the lip of the shaft and onto the gangway. Someone forced an oxygen mask over her mouth, but Kelsey's world was flickering out. As the medical trolley rushed forwards, her brain registered one final sensation. A pair of cold, metal hands pinning her down.